Encountering Jesus changes you. It's true for us today, and it was true for those who walked with Jesus over 2,000 years ago. This summer, we are going to be walking through the Gospel of Mark, and we're going to be looking at stories of people or groups of people that encountered Jesus and did not come away the same. Many of the people we're going to look at come to Jesus desperate, with nowhere else to turn. But there's also some that come to Jesus thinking they have it all together. But through all these, we see Jesus' compassion for those who come to him. We see Jesus's often we'll see Jesus' emotions or his humanity displayed. But we also see powerfully that Jesus is the Son of God, that he has power and authority to change lives. And hopefully as we dive into these passages throughout this summer, we will come away changed. And as we encounter these inspired words of the living Jesus, my hope is that we will come away closer to him and come to trust in him more and more. Let's turn to Mark chapter 1, where we're going to look at our first encounter. So we're going to be in Mark 1, verses 21 to 28. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. Our first encounter that we're looking at from our passage that we just read is actually a double encounter. We have the man who comes to Jesus with an unclean spirit, but we also have the crowds. We also have the crowds that witnessed Jesus teaching and Jesus dealing with this man with the unclean spirit. And it's actually the crowd that we get more information on. We get to see the reaction of the crowd to what Jesus does and what he teaches. And what jumps out to us from the reaction of the crowd that we just read was that they thought that this man Jesus was different, that this Jesus had authority that was unlike any other. Around a month ago, I met a man who is high up in the Canadian Armed Forces, and right away I could tell that this man was a military man. He had a strong but calm confidence. He was a no-nonsense kind of guy. He talked about the different places where he was stationed and the responsibilities he had, the big decisions he made in order to protect those around him. And as I was talking to him, I was impressed because I could tell that he was a man with authority. We know what it's like to see people who have higher up positions, who are very influential, who can make these big decisions with confidence. The crowd here in Capernaum, they too would have known what it was like to encounter people around them with authority. There would have been Roman military men around them who had authority. There would have been many scribes, teachers of the law in their town who had great authority. But they recognized that the authority that Jesus displayed was different. They weren't just impressed, they were amazed, they were astonished. Because the authority of Jesus was unlike the authority of the scribes. Like the crowds, as we read this encounter, we too will see that Jesus' authority is unlike any other. But the question then becomes, how do we respond to the authority of Jesus? even if we are amazed at Jesus like the crowds were, will it lead to us subjecting ourselves to the authority of Jesus? When we're being taught by our world to be the masters of our own destinies, can we trust Jesus to have his way in our lives in all our ways? It can be easy to agree that Jesus was a great man, that his teachings were wise, even that he did miracles. But harder to trust in Jesus and allow him to be our Lord and to be the authority in our lives. We will see that Jesus' authority is unlike any other and should be trusted. So why should we trust in it? Well, first we see that his teaching is unlike any other. Look back with me to our passage in verses 21 and 22. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. So our passage takes place near the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And it takes place in the town of Capernaum, which was in Galilee, which was the northern part of Israel. And this is Jesus' second time around ministering in Galilee. And he finds himself in Capernaum. Every town in Israel had a synagogue. It was kind of the hub of the community, a little bit of a mix of a church and the Wyoming Lions Club. Right? They would gather together to worship God, but they also gathered to have community events, to have schools there, and many other things that the community revolved around. And in our passage, Jesus enters the synagogue in Capernaum on the Sabbath and starts to teach. This would have been very normal for the crowd to witness, very normal for the crowd here in Capernaum in the synagogue to see. Because on the Sabbath, a scribe or a teacher of the law would read from God's word and start to teach on it. And this is what Jesus did. So this would have been very normal, a very normal experience for them. But very quickly, the crowd starts to see that this was not so normal. That Jesus was different. That his teaching was a different kind of teaching. Our passage says that the crowd was astonished. They were taken aback. They were blown away, thrown off at how different of a teaching this was. And what led them to be amazed at the teaching of Jesus was because they saw how different his teaching was compared to the scribes. Right in verse 22, he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. And this is pretty interesting to me because the scribes, the teachers of the law in Israel, they would have been very well educated. They would have known the Old Testament so well. They would be teaching week after week. They would help to resolve conflicts according to the Bible. People had great respect for their scribes. Many of them were Pharisees, whom we see Jesus interact with in the Gospels. It's not like the crowd would have been looking for an opportunity for somebody to come in and outshine their scribes. But right away, as they start to hear Jesus teach, they were astonished because his teaching was so different compared to the teaching of the scribes. So what made it so different? What made Jesus' teaching so different? Well, later on in Mark, we see Jesus encountering the Pharisees, and he tells them this in chapter 7, verse 8, "You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." Daniel Aiken, in his commentary on the book of Mark, he says this about the scribes. "The scribes derived their authority from the tradition of men. By quoting the fathers of Judaism, they rested on the famous and respected teachers who had preceded them." So instead of basing their authority on the word of God, they started to base their authority on the teachings of men who had come before them. Right? They removed the base of their authority away from God's word and instead towards the teachings of men. It's easy to see how that can start to happen for us today. How often do we hear teaching whether online, through videos, or through articles, or social media, or even in person as well, where it might really sound good, it might sound like they're teaching really good things, but it doesn't actually come from God, but comes from their own wisdom. There's been a really interesting rise over the past several years of a teaching that sounds really appealing. And it's actually a throwback to ancient Stoicism, which is like what Marcus Aurelius, the Roman emperor, taught back in the 2nd century. And we see people like Joe Rogan following this kind of teaching, saying that you can have peace in your circumstances if you can just change your mindset, that you can be the master over your own emotions. They teach mental strength, self-control, knowing your own limitations. And all this can sound really good to the world around us. And there might even be some things that might sound good to us as believers. But it leaves Jesus out of the picture. It's about seeking virtue by your own power, your own strength, not submitting yourself to Christ and to his direction and his guidance in your life. And if we do these things without Christ, it leaves us empty. But the words of Jesus do not come from man. Jesus' authority comes from God. A few verses earlier in Mark 1, verse 11, after Jesus is baptized, God the Father speaks down from in a voice that came down from heaven saying, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The authority of Jesus comes from God the Father. God is pleased in everything that the Son does. Everything the Son does comes from him. So the crowd was astonished because they could tell that Jesus' teaching did not come from men. How about us? Have we come to recognize that the teachings of Jesus are unlike any other teaching that we find around us? Because when we read the teachings from Jesus, and when we read the teachings of Jesus throughout the entire Bible, we read words and teaching that comes from the authority of God. Do we trust that Jesus is God's Son, that his words should be the authority in our lives, even over the appealing teaching of the world around us? There's an actor, a famous actor, Rainn Wilson, who is in a lot of shows and in a lot of movies, who has his own podcast, and where he brings people on and talks about things to do with spirituality. And a few months ago, he had a few people on his podcast, and he was saying that he loves the teachings of Jesus. Okay, he would call himself a red-letter Christian. He would hold to the words of Jesus, the teachings of Jesus. And at the same time, he doesn't believe that all of Scripture is the authority from God. He wouldn't say that Jesus is the only way to salvation. He would say that God is Jesus' metaphorical Father, and that Jesus is the metaphorical Son, not the literal Son of God born of a virgin. That Jesus didn't actually physically rise from the grave and ascend to heaven. That the resurrection is not the most important thing, but the most important thing boils down to love thy neighbor. It's easy to say that you enjoy the teachings of Jesus, that they can be so beneficial for you or for society, that they maybe help give you peace, or that they could be good for your children. But it's a lot harder to subject yourself to the authority of Jesus and to actually hold to what he says about who he says he is. Because there are many teachings of Jesus that are not very popular in our world today. For Jesus to say that he is the only way, the only truth, the only life, well, that's not very inclusive to people of other faiths. For Jesus to say that those who do not know him will go to a place of eternal punishment, well, that's not very fair. To say that Jesus rose bodily from the grave like he said he would, well, that doesn't make a lot of rational sense. But for us here this morning, it too can be really difficult to subject ourselves to the authority of Jesus and to follow his teachings, because it can be really hard to follow them. When Jesus tells us to deny ourselves, to pick up our cross and to follow him, that can just go against every ounce of our beings, every ounce of our flesh, because we want to do the things that we want to do. But we can trust that Jesus is the Son of God, that he has authority that is worth following, that his words are true, his teachings are good. Even when they might seem really difficult to follow, or they might not seem like they make a whole lot of rational sense to us, we can trust that to follow Jesus is never in vain. When we read the beautiful teachings of Jesus, be amazed that his words are true. Subject yourself to his teachings, because he is the Son of God and he is unlike any other. But it wasn't just the teachings of Jesus that the crowd witnessed and recognized that this Jesus was different. Jesus did something else in the synagogue that led them to see that the authority of Jesus was unlike any other. Jesus has authorities over the enemies of darkness, which is unlike any other. Look with me to verses 23 to 26 from our passage. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. As Jesus is teaching here in the synagogue, a man with an unclean spirit comes in the middle of the synagogue and comes to Jesus. This man had an evil spirit or a demon. This isn't something that us here in Canada would see very often. It happens a lot more in other places in the world, but we don't see it as often here. And we see it happen several times in the different Gospels. We know that as believers in Christ, we have an enemy, Satan. We know that Satan opposes God, that he has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He is an angel that led a rebellion against God, fell from heaven along with many other fallen angels. We know that there are demons, evil spiritual beings under the leadership of Satan. Ephesians 6:12 makes this really clear to us. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is a true reality that we face as believers in Christ, that the enemies of darkness, they want to thwart the work of Christ in the lives of believers. They want to hurt our testimonies. They want to cause disunity in the church. They want to stop the spread of the gospel. C.S. Lewis has a famous quote about demons and says, "There are equal and opposing errors into which our race can fall about the devils. One is to disbelieve in their existence. The other is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them." Here in Canada, we would more often fall into that first category, the first danger, where we would disbelieve in demons. But we see from our passage and throughout Scripture that evil spirits or demons are a true reality of our fallen world. This man who comes to Jesus, he's possessed by this spirit. When the man speaks, it's the spirit speaking through, this evil spirit speaking through him. This unclean spirit had a power, authority, enough to enter into this man and control him in some ways. But like the crowd, the evil spirit even recognizes that Jesus is different. We see this in verse 24. "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." He knows who Jesus is. He even calls him the Holy One of God. He recognizes the deity of Jesus. But this is not a worshipful interaction. This is the spirit recognizing that this Jesus is an enemy of the forces of darkness. This is a holy, pure one. But the Spirit shrinks back at the authority of Jesus. In verse 25, but Jesus rebuked him, saying, be silent and come out of him. With authority, Jesus says to the man, come, to the evil spirit, come out of him. And simply by his words, the spirit comes out. Picture the crowd here in Capernaum. They probably would have seen people who were possessed by evil spirits. Maybe they had even known this man for a little while. Maybe they had even seen some scribes or religious teachers try to cast this demon out. Sometimes the scribes would sometimes try and burn herbs to try and remove the spirit, or say certain words, or go through this whole process, all these rituals to try and cast out a demon. But here, they witness Jesus, who doesn't have to do any of that. He simply spoke his own words. He commanded the evil spirit to leave, and it does. With this authority that comes from God, because Jesus is the Son of God, this evil spirit shrinks back powerless. And now this man is freed from the hold of the demon. Jesus has authority over the enemies of darkness. We see this displayed in a really clear way here in our passage. But Jesus displayed this authority in the biggest way on the cross. In the beautiful verse in Colossians 2:15, we read this. He, being Jesus, disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus displayed in the biggest way his authority, his power over the enemies of darkness. They are not going to win. Jesus put them to open shame. We know that they do have power, some limited power, but they have been defeated. They are walking around in shame, beaten. They are fighting a losing battle. We know that as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have a Savior who has won the battle over the enemy. Through faith in Christ, the enemy has no power over us anymore. Followers of Jesus cannot be possessed by evil spirits anymore, not controlled by evil spirits anymore. We're still oppressed. They still try and attack believers in Christ, but we know that the enemies of darkness have no power over us anymore. This Jesus, the one who conquered sin and Satan, is the one with authority like no other. He is the one that we can trust and follow. When we read this passage in Mark and see Jesus cast out this demon, and when we read about his triumph over darkness on the cross, allow this truth to bring you to trust in Jesus further. To trust that Jesus is the authority over your life. To know that the one with power over darkness is the one worth following. As the crowds in the synagogue witness what Jesus just did again, they are amazed. Look with me to verses 27 and 28. And they were all amazed, so they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him. At once, his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. So the crowds could see not only was his teaching different, his power over darkness, over the enemies of darkness, was different. He backed up his teaching by his displays of power, and their amazement grew, and they started to spread the word. Fame of Jesus was going out everywhere. But something really interesting happens to crowds in the same city of Capernaum a little later in Jesus' ministry. The book of John tells us about another interaction with Jesus and with crowds in Capernaum. Jesus again teaches them, and the crowds are coming from all over. They're really excited to hear Jesus teach. But then Jesus starts to say some things that don't sit so well with them. He tells them that he is the bread of life, that he came down from heaven, that he is the Son of God. And the crowd can't handle that. In John 6, we see that the crowd start to grumble. We know this man's parents. How could he say that he came down from heaven? How could he say that he is the Son of God sent from heaven when we can see this man standing right here? We know his parents, Joseph and Mary. The crowd start out amazed because they could tell that Jesus was different. He seemed to have authority that was different from the scribes. But that amazement didn't last. When it came to submitting to who Jesus said he truly was, they couldn't do it. They liked hearing the teaching. They liked seeing the amazing things that he did. They were truly blown away by him. But they didn't want to follow him when it came to start to cost them something. When it got harder to believe the things that he said about himself. There may be some here this morning that might like the teachings of Jesus. That definitely see that there's something different about them. You might see the benefit of your kids hearing the teachings of Jesus. You might look at what Jesus did and on earth and see that it was amazing. Believe that he did these amazing miracles, these amazing things. That he cast out evil spirits, that he had great power. But have not yet to come to make Jesus the authority in your life. To trust that Jesus is the authority in your life worth following. Maybe you are fearful to allow someone else to lead because of past negative experiences. Or maybe you don't want to give up the reins on your life because you like being in control. But if that is you, turn today to Jesus in faith. Jesus is the Son of God, and his authority is unlike any other. Jesus displayed his power by defeating sin, defeating Satan on the cross. Jesus loved us so much that he paid the penalty for our sin. He faced incredible physical pain. He suffered the wrath of God so that we don't have to face the punishment that we deserve. He died so that we can have eternal life, so that we can be saved from our sins. Repent of your sins and turn to Jesus today in faith. Allow Jesus to rule in your heart because he is unlike any other and he is good. For those who know Christ this morning, let us grow in amazement at Jesus. And let this amazement of Jesus grow in our love for his words that are found in the Gospels and found all throughout Scripture. Let us grow in our willingness to allow the words of Jesus to be the authority in our life, even when it's really hard to follow, even when it's really hard to live out. Rest in his words. Trust that they are good and always the best for us. Allow the one who has conquered sin, who has conquered Satan, conquered the enemies of darkness to rule over your hearts. You have a Savior who has conquered Satan. Trust in him more and more. Allow this amazement to grow into an allowing him to guide you and to lead your steps in all your ways. Let's pray. God, we praise you and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to teach the truth, to die on the cross, and to rise, showing your power over sin and over Satan. Thank you for the salvation that is possible through faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us to follow Jesus as the authority in our lives, even when it costs something. Help us to know more and more every day that to allow Jesus to rule in our hearts is beautiful and true and the best thing for us. And in Jesus' name, amen.